Hail Mary, full of grace. Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and in the hour of our death. Amen. A prayer said by countless Roman Catholic Christians on a daily basis. Some say it out of habit. Some say it for comfort. Others may say it as a way to enter into a connection with God. Still others may see it as a prayer to help them do the things that they know that God wants them to do. Here's a little bit of, I'm a Protestant, so I think this is right, background of it. The first line, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee, comes from Luke 1:28. In this week's reading, which I did from the Message paraphrase, it's translated, Good morning, you're beautiful with God's beauty, beautiful inside and out, God be with you. The next line comes from Luke 1:42. It's not in this week's reading, but really close to it. Elizabeth, Mary's cousin, who was pregnant with John the Baptist, said, You are so blessed among women, and the babe in your womb also blessed, saying Jesus was added by early Catholic Church leaders. Then there's the second part of the prayer. It doesn't come from the Bible. It's also not a prayer that either worships Mary or sees her as God. It asks Mary to pray for those speaking, kind of like you asking someone to pray for you or someone else. Pray for us, Mary. Mary is a favored one of God, or full of grace. Mary, an engaged teenager, was going to be the mother of Jesus. You think that she dreaded that reality? She was not yet married, and she was going to be a mother, and the father was not the man she was pledged to marry. It's not something that's really problematic these days. So many couples have children before they're married. And whether you're okay with that doesn't really change what is. Celebrating life and love is wonderful. And in the days of Mary and Joseph, her expecting a baby while engaged and not married wasn't, to say the least, a societal norm. Mary was a favored one of God. When Jesus was older and preaching in Nazareth, the people tried to quiet him down. They said that his mother and brothers and sisters were outside, and Jesus said to them in Mark 3, Who are my mother and my brothers? Then he looked at those seated in a circle around him and said, Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother. Mary was dismissed and also a favored one of God. Mary got to witness her son's crucifixion. In John 19, near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there, and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, Dear woman, here is your son. And to the disciple, here is your mother. From that time on, the disciple took her into his home. Mary mourned, and she was a favored one of God. Favored one of God. Here are some other favored ones of God in the Bible. Moses wandered around in the desert for 40 years. David made mistake after mistake. His kingdom lasts forever, but it wasn't always rosy. Esther risked her life to save a people she tried to keep secret. The prophets who were often killed or imprisoned for the words they spoke. Paul spent a whole lot of time in prison. I know, I'm only showing one side of things. Being full of grace shouldn't mean that things are going to get harder, or should it? Knowing that God loves us no matter who we are or where we are on life's journey is an easy part. Following God and living our lives for Jesus has a whole lot more to it. We can't earn God's love. or forgiveness or salvation. No matter how good we are and no matter how we live our lives, we cannot earn God's favor. We just do what we do. It's like a tree. Trees bear fruit. It's just what they do, not they do it because they have to or because someone told them to. It's what their DNA says to do. As a people of God, as the church, as a people of blessing, our DNA says that we live God's love. And that may include hardships. We may be ridiculed for our faith. We may take stands on issues that anger others. Our denomination, the United Church of Christ, has taught this by example by being what our denominational presidents have called first in truth-telling. The United Church of Christ and its forebears were the ones who took an abolitionist stance. Reverend Samuel Sewell wrote the first anti-slavery pamphlet in America, The Selling of Joseph, in 1700. We were the first to ordain an African-American, Lemuel Haynes, in 1785. Congregationalists weren't afraid of civil disobedience. We were behind the Boston Tea Party. We were the first to ordain women, Antoinette Brown, in 1853. We were behind the protest that led to a landmark FCC ruling in 1959 that the airwaves were public, not private. We were the first to ordain an openly gay minister, Reverend Bill Johnson, in 1972. We called for the legalization of same-sex marriage in 2005. We may know that we are called to do things in our lives that are going to stretch us way beyond where we are comfortable or even where we think possible. I believe that God calls each of us to be willing to and to follow where God leads us. It might lead some people to donate more to an organization that helps folks in need. It might lead some people to give more of their finances toward the ministries of St. Paul's United Church of Christ. It might lead some people to take extended time off school or work to serve others. It might lead some people to change careers. It might lead some people to begin talking about their faith with their friends. It might lead some people to do something they knew they should do. They didn't think they had the courage. I'm sure Mary, full of grace, did not think she had the strength or the courage for what was to come in her life. I believe that she thought that the path she would walk would be impossible, but she did trust that God would provide it. Instead of letting impossible thoughts be at the center, she said this, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Or like in the Message. Can we say this out loud right now? Stay it where you are. Yes, I see it all now. Here I am, ready for the work. I love Abraham Simpson. See, I have a favorite Simpsons Christmas episode. It's from several years ago. The Simpsons have been on for more than 30 years. But it's called Holidays of Future Past. In the episode, Maggie Simpson has a baby. And Grandpa Abe Simpson has a great line. "If there's one day a year to give unwed mothers a break, it's Christmas." I love the line. And the sentiment behind the line just shows some love. I wish the line wasn't even necessary. I wish that love, respect, kindness, cooperation, and the common good were values all agreed upon. And sadly, they're not. Not now and not in the days of Mary and Joseph. In today's reading, the angel told Mary to not be afraid. She was afraid. She was in trouble, and regardless of her circumstances and why she was in them, she needed a break. If the Mary scenario were to play out today, too many people who claim to follow Jesus would look at Mary and shame her. It's unacceptable. It would be much better to listen to Grandpa Simpson wish everyone would stop with the "look how holy I am-ness." I have a Grandpa Simpson ornament on my Christmas tree. All right, can we say it again? Can you say this out loud right now with me? Yes, I see it all now. Here I am, ready for the work. Or maybe it can be even shorter, something you could say several times a day. Here I am, ready for the work. The next few days are ones of celebration. They're also days of stress. What a great time to say when you wake up, "Here I am, ready for the work." How about when you are staying home and trying to coordinate Zoom gatherings for Christmas this year? "Here I am, ready for the work." While trying to muster up any kind of energy surrounding Christmas at all, "Here I am, ready for the work." When people want to shout about how they're oppressed because wearing a mask is the worst thing ever, and you really just want to do something, say something unkind, "Here I am, ready for the work." During the holidays, when you really just miss seeing people because you're doing your best to keep folks safe and not spread the coronavirus, "Here I am, ready for the work." Back at work, when your boss, your employees are not doing what you want them to do and you really want to yell and act all nasty, "Here I am, ready for the work." Back at school or at Zooming school, when others make fun of you because you aren't dressed in the perfect style or someone calls you a church freak or something like that, "Here I am, ready for the work." Whatever the time, you can say it out of habit. You can say it for comfort. You can say it as a way to enter into a connection with God. You can say it as a prayer to help you do the things that you know God wants you to do. "Here I am, ready for the work." Easy? No. Impossible? Listen to the words of the angel to Mary just before she said, "Here I am, ready for the work." Make it a promise. Amen.